Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, I got a question for you, Betsy.
Okay.
Today's Veterans Day. Do you know where our president is?
Oh, God, please, where is he?
He's in Indonesia.
That's where he lived. He's at this other home. He lived in Hawaii. He lived in Indonesia for 4 years, I thought, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know how I feel about our president.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of Americans are just as unhappy with his performance, shall we say. I don't know. I don't think his allegiance is to the U.S. I question it.
I think he's trying to kowtow. That's the word I want? Kowtow? Kowtow.
Maybe he's looking for a place to, so that he can go get exiled to once they find out he wasn't an American citizen to begin with.
You know, there was a time when, even going back to my boy Clinton was a powerful man. He made a lot of mistakes. But I just don't think Obama's flexing his military muscles. I think he could be a lot more assertive to these people over here instead of trying to take care of their needs and wants. And I do like he's trying to help the Muslim Christian relationship. I like that part of everything because I think it is confused. But I just don't think he's really out there using his military might. And by God, we are American. We're military and we're right.
Well, hard to tell from where he comes from. I mean, at first, when he first got in office, and granted, he probably wasn't prompted on, you know, what was appropriate to say, but didn't he make a comment about this being a voluntary force? And, well, he wasn't that respective to the veterans in the beginning, shall we say.
No, and we gotta realize, too, that the amount of Americans joining the military is declining. We may have.
Well, I got news for you. The Marine Corps is going to go down from 220,000 to 197,000.
Are they cutting back, or is just voluntarily people?
No, voluntarily people aren't going in.
For all you people that listened to me earlier about the difference between the U.S. and the RA being regular Army, and the U.S. being draftees, we may not be that far from it.
Yeah, that would be something if we went back to a draft.
Now, my concern is that when Screwdriver and I went in, we didn't really have a lot of options. And we didn't care. You know what? I'd be on the street or not be on the street. I'd be wherever I ended up. I didn't really care. But as I'm getting older, I'm not comfortable with my nephews and maybe my nieces getting drafted, especially when I never understood Vietnam. I don't know if anybody ever did. But I didn't care. You didn't give a damn about, you know,
yeah.
Screwdriver and I, that was our lifestyle. But I don't know if I want to send my nieces, my nephews to a war going over there that I don't understand. Maybe I'm getting a little more old or cranky. And I'm just not really happy.
I think we're all getting older and crankier.
When I was in basic training, there was one guy who was a conscientious objector. And the drill sergeant, they loaded this guy with every crap in the world and try to make us all turn on him. And after about third or fourth week, he said to them, "You can send me anywhere you want. I'm going to be in the medical field. I'm going to help people. I will not pick up that rifle." And he confronted them. He's a little guy. He confronted them, and I was more proud of that man than anybody else I met in the military. He said, "I will go into anywhere you want to send me. I will take care of the wounded. I will not pick up that rifle. There is nothing you can do about it." And I assure you, I was proud of that man for what he did.
Oh, I just want to tell you that I'm only going to be on for the first hour.
Okay.
All right, because I got to be up early and I still got some stuff to do before I hit the hay tonight.
I mentioned it quickly. We had a run to stop the violence last week, and I gave a presentation on domestic violence.
Oh, how'd that go, by the way?
So what, Betsy?
How'd that go, by the way?
Really was wonderful. I speak so often, sometimes I think I'm just throwing words out, but at the event, three women came up to me while I was trying to eat my lunch and said, "Can I talk to you?" your phrase, America's dirty little secret, well, I don't want that dirty little secret anymore. I was abused, and I want to tell you, I never let my parents know about it, and I believe it sabotaged every relationship I've had.
Right.
The three people at that event, and then was at a party that night, some people heard about it, two more girls. So five women came up and said, I've never told anybody, but I'm tired of keeping it. When you said America's dirty little secret, she said, I realize I am sabotaging every relationship I have. I'm blaming myself. Now, the last girl said to me, she was raped and beaten severely.
Mm-hmm.
And the police caught the man, put him in jail. Her and her husband did 6 months of counseling. Her husband always will be a saint. He didn't say, let's put it behind us, let's work through it. The best thing in the world, except she left him after 6 months of counseling.
Wow.
I said, how could you leave a man that's pouring his heart out, doing everything he can? She said, because I couldn't tell him, Bill, when I was being raped, I climaxed. I said, how stupid can you be? That's penetration, lubrication. That's your body failing you. If he took and broke your finger, he's doing that to you. The fact he raped you, you climax. It's apples and oranges. She said, I couldn't tell my husband. And since then, I've had every rotten relationship there is. But that phrase, America's dirty little secret, I'm tired of it, Mr. Kennedy, and I want people to know. And luckily, I had counselors that could pick up after me. But normally, I just talk to hear myself talk, I think, Betsy. But this time, I really think I made an impression on some people. And next year, Screwdriver and I, we're going to be down. We've got a giant haul. I'm going to bring a lot of people in. And the reason I was hoping you was there, even though I think I have a very monotone voice and soft-spoken, I still think there are women who would only want to talk to women. So I don't think I can reach everybody. People like yourself would have been perfect just to listen. Let people talk to you.
Well, you know, that woman hit the nail on the head. What happens to women who are victims or become part of the battered syndrome, battered woman syndrome, is they feel guilty.
Yes.
You know, they feel like it's their fault. They did something wrong to have this happen to them. And, you know, that's the wrong way to look at it, but a lot of times you'll see battered women who will stay in relationships because they just don't know what else to do. They don't know how to leave. They don't know, you know.
Betsy, out here in San Diego, we have a lot of young Mexican girls who stay in the relationship because they have a child and they don't want to embarrass their family by leaving, breaking up the marriage. And don't forget, a lot of Mexican people are Catholics, and we Catholics, we're into that. You stay in that marriage, even though it's extremely abusive. I met many women who wear a black eye like a badge of honor. Look, my man loves me. Look, he hit me.
Yeah.
That is crazy shit.
Yeah.
That's loony. It's sad, but, you know.
What happened at your meeting?
Oh, we got our T-shirts and discussed some strategy about some press releases, and basically that was it.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, tell Betsy what I'm holding in my hand.
Since we've been talking, he took his shirt off. He's wearing it's a long sleeve, pink sleeve black middle to it, like a two-piece, pink, black in the middle, pink on the outside.
Not my shirt.
Well, then take it off. You shouldn't have it on. It says, repeat, defend, offender. Sorry, yeah, wrinkled up there. Repeat, offender. Take it off. It's too tiny for you. It's too tight.
That's for Betsy.
For Betsy. Betsy, you better send a dry cleaner first, because he's put it on right here in front of me. It was not a pretty sight. why is Betsy getting this?
Because Betsy's getting it.
All right. You two always keep secrets from me.
No.
No, he had told me about the shirt.
But, I'm going to take, I want to take this caller right here, so hold on, okay?
All right.
Hello, caller. Are you there? Are you there? Are you just going to listen in? The 749 number.
I guess they don't want to say anything.
Want to hide, I guess.
Well, it's kind of hard to follow, you know, with Betsy on the air. It'd be kind of, you know, hard. Some people get intimidated by that, you know.
Yeah.
Very, very rare do you find a beautiful woman who has a dynamic voice, a strong personality, you know. So I can see why they're intimidated.
Oh, you're too kind.
We got somebody listening from Spain, Bill.
Espanol.
Yeah. Say hello to
Hola.
Nina. Hola, Nina. I spent a long time down at Costa del Sol area. What a beautiful, beautiful part of Spain. Does it say where she's from besides Spain? Nina, work on the program. What part of Spain, dear? Well, Nina's just going to listen to us. See, again, you bring these dynamic women on like Betsy.
No,
they intimidate.
She's in her hometown is Helsinki, Finland.
Where the hell is Spain going?
But she's in Spain.
Oh, okay. Helsinki, Finland. Is that Heido? Maybe it's that Heido. It could be Swedish. Well, anyways, hope you enjoy the show.
I'm in. She's from Finland, she says. And then the other thing I wanted to do, Bill, is we had, if you remember, I told you about the Devil Dolls MC.
Yes, yes.
They had a test over the weekend.
Yes.
And they're doing a benefit for her this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be at the, well, yesterday they had one at the Pine Street Bar, but the funeral and everything is going to be this weekend.
And that's up in the San Francisco area somewhere?
Yeah.
Do you have the town or anything?
No, I'm going to get it. I just wanted to mention it because they sent me an email.
I hope. We should have had one of the Devil Dolls on. They're a fun group. I enjoy their company in many, many parties.
Oh, speaking of which, I tried to get some of my Marines to come on tonight to talk about the Toys for Tots program and whatnot, but after the long day and whatnot, they were all going to hit the hay early, so I apologize.
Well, our Toys for Tots program, last year we had 1,000 motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
Went for a 38-mile tour to a nice casino, Indian casino. Our prices are very reasonable. We're going to ask $10 and bring a little small unwrapped toy. Now, for that $10, in the morning, we're going to have coffee and Danish and donuts, bike judging, T-shirts, and prizes. We ride 35 miles with the full police escort. Screwdriver and I have been in front of that police escort. At the casino, you're going to get a free lunch, raffles, and the Honda Goldwing riders, I don't know their name now, the stunt team. I can't think of their name now. The Honda Goldwing riders. They're going to be doing all kind of demonstrations with their big baggers, all for $10. And we're going to feed people in the morning small coffee. How's that sound, Betsy? Not too bad?
No, that sounds pretty good, Bill.
Yeah.
Here's that thing. This is the girl's name is Nisi, and it'll be Saturday, November 13th at 11 o'clock at the New Hope Church in Concord, California.
It's up by Frisco somewhere.
Right.
Yeah,
the reception to follow of all can make it. Thank you again for all the love and support of the family. There's this tragedy. It's from the Devil Dolls MCs. And,
well, we've had a lot of good parties with them and all that.
Yeah.
We send our respect out and our, you know.
Yeah, they're supposed to come on the show, but that thing happened.
Yeah. Well, we've, again, many, many parties with them. They've always treated us very, very well, so I enjoy that. Including that one friend of mine in the Devil Dolls who I box with. I'm not going to say your name or anything, but you still don't know how to defend an uppercut, but that's okay. What? What's wrong? I boxed with the Devil Dog. You know what?
Yeah, she beat your ass.
Well, she's a little quicker than I am.
Everybody's quicker than
but,
you.
But I've got height on her.
Yeah, you got height. But
I'm 220 pounds.
I got weight
on her.
Yeah, and you forgot to duck.
Well, I don't duck real fast. That's my problem. But her and I like to box together. What's wrong with that? Have strange relationships. Betsy, ever run to the motorcycle club, the Devil Dolls?
Have I what?
You ever run into the motorcycle club called the Devil Dolls?
Yeah. Oh, Devil Dolls?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Must be
all
a
women's
West
club.
Thing.
Good people. They used to be really active. They started out of the Bay Area, and they're spread out pretty good, but they really go out of the way to have a good event and all that. And unfortunately, losing one of their members, that's kind of a, you know, makes the chain one link shorter and all that's kind
right.
of a drag.
Right.
I was at a funeral last week, and you were out of town, but one of my friends from the Solo Angels, Mexican Motorcycle Club, he passed away. Interesting fellow, white kid, lived in the city of Vista, about 40 miles from Mexico. He was so impressed with this Mexican Motorcycle Club, he learned to speak Spanish.
Wow.
Not a prerequisite for joining the club, but he rode with them for many, many years, and that's kind of tough when he went down, too. So far, Betsy, I've been to 12 funerals this year.
Wow.
It's getting me a little bit too many.
Yes, absolutely, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
I've had several myself, but not as many as 12.
Well, I have people from all over, everywhere, unfortunately. It's one of the disadvantages of knowing a lot of people is it's semantics. You just lose a lot of people.
Right. Kind of
Rudolph and I would have a little get-together this weekend. The call is going to be on the Military Hospital Relief Program to support military families of special needs children. Now, if you're an active vet and you get injured, man, you're in the hospital, you're good to go. But if you're overseas in that sandbox and your kid needs special needs or has to go to the hospital right away, there's a paper trail you got to go through. It's getting a real pain in the butt. And this one family, friends of ours, Jason Cooper and his wife, Carolyn, hopefully he'll be on a little bit, they have two special needs kids. And he's trying to make it. He doesn't want a nickel for himself or anything. He's putting this poker run on so we can try to make awareness of the military families who have children special needs, especially when the military is overseas and the wife has the children here. She has a lot of red tape to go through, and that is a bullshit. So we're doing that. We're doing that. You and I have a private party to go Saturday night.
Right.
I don't want to talk about that one
no.
in the air here. But I want you to know also, Betsy, and because we're on a military day here, our Vietnam Vet Motorcycle Club / Legacy Vets, they're going to have a big annual Fall Freedom Poker Run November 27th, and that's going to be down in San Diego, and Screwdriver and I try to always make that if we can. This time of the year, Betsy, Screwdriver and I are we're like social butterflies. I'm at one run for about 2 hours. I can run out to another run. Screwdriver and I can't even spend time riding together because sometimes I have to be one part of like San Diego, maybe has to be up in L.A. or San Fernando or something. So it's getting me a little bit. Toy runs are wearing us down, Betsy.
Mm-hmm.
Let me. We got a few callers. So I'm gonna bring in this one. Hello, caller.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Hi.
Who am I speaking to, please?
This is Sean from Off the Chain.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on, brothers?
Same shit, different day. We're just doing a little gig on veteran stuff.
I was listening to the show a little bit, so you guys are doing a good job there.
Thank you. Are you a veteran also?
No, I'm not, but actually my lady works with all the veterans at the hospital. She helps get the guys all their
medical
equipment.
Outstanding. Screwdriver and I do an awful lot at the VA hospital. I want to remind everybody there's a saying, if you can read English, thank your teacher. No, I screwed it up already, didn't I? Damn, why don't you help me out?
You
can read, thank your teacher.
Jesus in English, thank a veteran.
Thank you for helping me on that one, yeah. So
that's
the way we feel about that.
This is a magazine we're on, Bill. It's called Off the Chain. And I met this guy through, he sent me an email, and we've been talking back and forth. And I'm just going to put his information up in the chat room. And we're on his page, and we're advertising him, and he's advertising us.
Outstanding.
So we're doing a little networking.
I'm sorry, where's he out of? What area? I didn't pick that up.
NorCal.
Oh, okay, good. And you're friend with our good friends, the Devil Dolls, up there, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, pretty much. We pretty much know them all up here.
Yeah.
I've read them.
Oh, good. There used to be a bigger chapter in San Diego, and it kind of dwindled down now. So the ones that haven't went up north a little bit, so we don't see it as much as we used to, but good people. We got something going on the we got the party. We got to go through Saturday. We got things in the military hospital.
Right.
Sunday we're going to both be up north.
Right.
And then Sunday I'm doing the thing for the or you can stop by with me for the Toys for Tot program. We'll do that in the morning. And then we'll run up north for that too. So yeah.
Right.
This time of year I was just talking about it. We're doing an awful lot of stuff here. I kind of wish for the old days when if I did one run a month I was happy. But now I got to be everywhere. We just can't do it.
That's what happens when. Well, when you want to be busy, then you don't want to be busy.
Yeah.
Why don't you give us a little background on your off the chain?
Let me know what we're doing about it. I'm not sure what's it about here.
Okay. Well, we started when I actually studied journalism in England, and I came back home. I was into bikes and hung out with a lot of the bike guys. But when I came back, I was a photographer and I was an editor. So I wanted to know what could I do now. I got this special talent. And a buddy of mine said, you should start a magazine. So when I first started out, it was a website. And I think my very first show was the Arlen Ness Show. The very first show he did in San Jose, he gave me an interview, talked to me, and kind of gave me insight on what I need to do as far as if you're going to do something like this, these are the things you might want to look at doing. And then from there, I started working on all the different aspects of that. And as the biggest thing is just printing. Because one of the things I found, we started with a digital magazine, which is online. But everybody wants that printed copy, something tangible that they can put in their, you know, their saddlebags and take with them or sit down and just read. So that opened up a whole new, you know, avenue for me to just, okay, now I gotta print something. But the cost of shipping something off to get it printed, that just was just, wow, that was a big load. So I worked a full-time job through my lady's company and saved up my money. They actually gave me a bonus, and with that bonus I quit. We put our money together and we bought our own printer. So now we print our own publication here in Northern California. And we cover everything from NASCAR, IndyCar, Superbikes, all the runs. And we put the European flavor to the magazine with Page Three Girls. We have pinups. And we have a section that's actually called On the Spot where we do a lot of interviews, Q&As, with adult entertainers. And everybody seems to like it a lot because, yes, it deals with bikes, cars, racing, trucks, but we also keep the babes in the magazine.
I want to share something with you. Arlen Ness is a good friend of mine, his son Corey. 20 years ago, I did a cable talk show when it very first came out, and they brought Arlen Ness down to San Diego. We're in the studio. I'm a little nervous. I haven't done cable before. I'm kind of close to TV, so we're close. I asked Arlen questions, and he would say, yes. Okay, well, all right. Ask Arlen another question. He'd say, no. And I said, I'm dying on air. So what I did was I changed the questions around. I wanted Arlen to answer 3 to 5 minutes. I'm doing 30-second questions. After the first commercial break, I went outside, gathered my composure, and I spoke for 3 to 5 minutes so he could get in and say, yeah, that's right, Bill. Since then, he's gotten so much better and all that. But if you ever ask him about his first cable talk show, he just stood there and he never moved an inch. The end of the show, I mean, he was okay, but first 15 minutes, I died 1,000 times on that show.
yeah, that's pretty tough.
Sorry. What you could do is I'll send you Bill's address if you want to ship us down a few and we'll put them in the shop.
We'll do that.
Okay. And then is it monthly, weekly, or?
We do every 2 months, so we get 6 issues out a year.
Okay.
And we get people that do online subscriptions, so we have our website set up for that. But we have 9 locations up here now. We're going to be growing that out to 100. And we've got people pretty much. I've got guys that contact me from Hawaii, Japan, Russia, North Carolina. So the magazine is starting to take off, and we're really happy with that. And, you know, like you said, I found you from just doing my research online, and you guys came up as probably one of the best sources for legal f- for bikers and for what we're going through. And that's why I put you under our legal resources on our site, because the same thing that you guys have been talking about on your show that I've been listening to, we're experiencing the same things up here in NorCal, and nobody knows where to go.
Well, up there in NorCal right now, Vacaville just got a $197,000 grant for motorcycle safety checkpoints. Santa Monica. Santa Monica, California got 167. Huntington Beach got 212, and it's all for motorcycle-only checkpoints.
I want to repeat that. We're riding our motorcycles down the road, and there are police ahead of us with lights on. Off the side, they got trailers, flatbeds to haul our bikes away. Everybody else goes right on by. They pull us over, and you got to go through everything. So Screwdriver and I tell everybody, stop, get your driver's license, insurance, and registration. Have it available. Have it quick. Have it together. Don't be stumbling around the back.
Yeah.
It's 9, 10 o'clock at night. It's dark. Their lights are flashing, and you can't find it. You get embarrassed. You get nervous. You need to know your rights. I'm not anti-police at all. They know what they're doing. We need to know what we're doing, and then it'll be a whole different story. Screwdriver and I are dealt a lot differently than the average guy getting pulled over, because we know the questions. We know the answers. We know how to handle ourselves. We try to talk to people everywhere.
And I'll get into that in a second, but what it is, Bill, excuse me for 1 second, Sean. What it is, we have Vivian is with Nina in Spain.
Yes.
And she'd like us to say hello to Vivian in Playa de Angeles. She's the biker girl listening to you, and she needs to go to bed. So good night. Good night, Vivian.
It's actually
2:30 in the morning over there, but like we're telling you, Sean, is we're worldwide. We have Finland, Helsinki,
Mexico City, England.
England, Australia, the Far East. We get calls and people listening from all over the world.
And listen, anytime, Vivian, anytime you want to just check in so we can say goodnight to you, please feel free anytime at all, because that's what we're here for.
Yeah, you guys are doing a great thing there, and I want to support it as much as we can. That's why we have our blog and our forum up, which I've turned Screwdriver onto. So
yeah, we're getting 40,000 to 50,000 hits per day.
Yeah, and I want people to understand the resources out there that they can take and use. You know, our magazine, it's fun and it's entertaining, but too, like you said, there's another side to that, that we need to be educated. And I love the way you said it on your show. You need to know the rules, and you need to know the language of law enforcement, because that's what's going to get you out of certain situations.
Yeah, right now I'm 3-for-1, 3 wins and 1 loss. But the thing that Bill was talking about with getting your stuff together and having it, if you're wearing a leather jacket and you got a breast pocket, you can go to, I'm not going to plug the store, but we all know it's Walmart, but they have a real nice recorder in there. It's about $19. You can download it into your computer. I have another little gizmo that looks like a car remote, and it records up to 8 hours of video and conversation. So I keep that in my pocket. I have a small billfold that I keep my license, insurance, and registration in. And the first thing I always tell them is I'm turning that on. And I tell them I'm unzipping my jacket, I'm reaching into my pocket, I'm grabbing my tape recorder and the information that you asked me for.
When we get stopped,
I don't want this to be adversarial again, but I tell everybody you have 30 to 45 seconds to decide who's in charge of the situation. If you allow yourself to be intimidated, it's going to go downhill. If you can show that officer, hey, I'm not going to start bad-mouthing you, but I know my rights and we're going to work within the law, that officer is going to treat you so much better, I guarantee you.
Right, because the 27th of October, I went to court, and there was 4 officers there, and I was doing my stuff pro per with an attorney as my advisor, and they came unprepared. They had sent me a letter asking me for another week. I gave them another week, and they still, the stuff that they sent me before court wasn't the right stuff. So they just found some stuff online and sent it to me. It was all the wrong stuff. So when I went to court, I just kept objecting every time they said something. So I asked the judge, the last thing he asked me was, is there anything else I can do for you today? And I said, yes, I'd like a court order to get my stuff back. And when I left there, I went to the police station, and when I walked in, the guy said, the first thing he said to me was, what could I do for you today? That should tell you how many times they see my face. And I told him what it was, and I gave him. He said, "Well, there's no case number on it." I said, "No, it's in the upper right-hand corner." So he picked up the phone. He made 6 phone calls, and nobody answered the phone. He got up. He asked me for the paper. I gave it to him. He walked down the hall. He come back with the guy that Bill and I sat in the IA room with.
No, sad night.
Sad night. And then.
Oh, you know, it's a good point. There was nothing wrong with you and I going into police headquarters,
no.
Meet with IA, traffic, anybody there else who wants to be there. We're American citizens. We're an American city, an American police department. Police department is no different than the SDG&E, the dog catcher, just organization. Why should we be afraid to go in there? If you will take the time, learn your rights, you will not be afraid when you go in there.
No. And the guy came out, and I just happened to be wearing a red and white shirt, and the guy came out, and he turned redder than the shirt I had on. Get the out of him to sign that paper to give me my stuff back. But he was the one that told me I couldn't have it back without a court order. And then he wanted to know how I got the court order.
You asked.
One of the things about when Screwdriver and I meet with city officials and all that, our personalities are totally different. And being that way, we speak differently. He comes across a little more strong with facts, figures, statistics, and everything. I come across with more like, this is right and this is wrong. So it's a hard combination, but sometimes I think having different ways of speaking helps an awful lot. Because I love for somebody to try to intimidate me.
Well, we spent...
I love for
right.
you to intimidate. Try it.
We spent an hour and a half with these two guys in a room. And
no windows.
No windows. They had 3 pieces of paper. I had 2 inches of papers for each one of them. I told them what grants they were getting. I told them what the grants were for because they didn't know, but they knew they were getting them. And 10 minutes before we walked out, Bill told them, "Hey, you know, I told you this guy was on point when we walked in here. So if you'd like, I'd have him come back every week and give you updates." That didn't go over too well either.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Oh, wait, we ride our motorcycles up to the front door of the police station every time, and boy, it's like all the cops pull in. What are they doing? What are they doing? We're just two Americans. That's all we're doing.
Right. The day we left there, we pulled in to get gas. When's the last time you seen a motorcycle bike with a cop on it pull in and buy gas at a Shell station?
They're getting their gas in this big station lot right there. All he wanted to do was just kept looking at us. But he wouldn't look at us.
No.
It's one of those off-the-side looks. And when we left, that's when he left.
Right.
But we used to it. I don't mind them doing that. That's not intimidation to me. That shows me weakness. The fact we ride up to the front, we present ourselves. I try not to use profanity. I try to stay within the realm. You get a little in your voice. You get a little feisty. That's all right. I want to keep it monotone. But between the two of us, I think it works out fine.
That's great. You know, that's really great because, you know, in this day and age, anybody that's going to be riding a bike, they have to understand that just like you guys talk about on your show and from everything I've seen on your site, it's educating yourself about your rights, where you live at. You're in the United States of America. You have freedoms. There are things that you can do and people cannot prosecute or persecute you for doing them. Riding a bike is one of them. Just because you ride a bike does not mean you're a criminal. And that's one of the things we have in our magazine. I try to put a section in there that's called Now You Know. And I always try to put something in there that teaches people either about their driving rights, your motorcycle rights, something that helps you get a little bit of knowledge to where if you get pulled over, now you know. You can use that to help yourself in a
right.
situation where you're up against the wall.
There's a little... there's a little thing coming out right now. It's in the woodwork. It hasn't really been put out there yet. But the CHP is checking into some stuff about 1 inch of foam in the helmet and all kinds of shit. But I don't think they're going to be able to do it.
You know, one of the techniques I want to tell everybody that we've been very successful with is when we have a new mayor in our local city, we give him a couple weeks till he gets his feet wet and he's in there. We set an appointment up. I just want to talk to the man. Well, someday it could be a woman, too. I'm sorry. Sorry, Betsy. It could be a woman someday, but it's not in Oceanside. We want to meet the mayor. It's not that I'm coming in adversarial again. We're not coming in with demands. What are you doing for the city? What's the plan here? And what's the objective? Is this selective enforcement going to continue on? Are you supportive of this? Are you aware of this? We just want to sit down and have an intelligent conversation with the mayor. And it has such a change of effect. we've been at a party, and a cop would pull up at my shop, and the cop would ask some questions about permits and all that, and I'd say, well, officer, I'm not really up on all that. Maybe my friend over there could help you with those questions. And I point, we try to get the mayor of our city at my motorcycle shop party. Such a big difference, I guarantee you.
It's
work within the system.
Right. It's just like the guy called me back to go down there, and Bill and I were involved with the Vietnam Vets Wall and a charity ride for the vets where we helped these guys get a van. And being that the VA, we got the van for them, but the VA has no budget to fix the van. So once a year, we do a fundraiser to get the money to keep the van on the road.
Insurance,
everything.
Gasoline,
tires, whatever.
Hi.
Take these guys back and forth to the VA. So this guy told me, well, you know, I understand the mayor's going to be at your two of your events. And I said, yeah, he's supposed to give us a proclamation for the vets in both events. And he said, well, how would you like me to tell him about your guys' affiliations? And I said, look, if you were going to be a dirty, rotten motherfucker, just like that is the way I said it to him.
No, I tell people not to use that language, blah, 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 but go ahead.
Right. I said it to him that way. If you're going to be a dirty, rotten motherfucker, being a vet yourself, and do that to those guys, you're a piece of shit. And I got up and left.
We have that point again. I'd like to say, choose the correct words always, especially in court. However, this is not in court. This was on my front street. So Screwdriver, as an American, has the right to choose his words. Not my choice of words. That's his voice as an American coming out.
You know, it all goes back to...
I ain't saying you're wrong at all.
It all goes back to that sticker on the front of my helmet, Bill. What does it say? Do you remember?
No.
Warning, insensitive prick.
Mm. Where personality is different.
I got to get me one that says, does not play well with others.
Yeah, that's a good one there. You know, I got to tell you, though, people that listen to us, this is taxing for Screwdriver and I. I don't mind doing the events and all that, but dealing with the city, I feel like Don Quixote at times trying to fight the windmill, thinking it's a dragon. It is overpowering. It's a machinery. It is a large corporation, the city. It wears us down. So other people that listen to our voice thinking, well, I'm going to run out and do it, don't get frustrated because you got to jump through hoops. They put fire traps all around you. They do everything to delay you in court. Don't get frustrated. Know your rights. But I'm going to tell you, it wears us down.
Yes. It's just like this now. If I go out and I go down around town or wherever I go, when I ride 60 miles to work, and when I get off the freeway, I get one behind me. That's the first couple of blocks. Then I get two more.
This is from your house now, going.
From my house, right. Going to work and coming back from work. I get an escort either way. Up to four or five cars, which two guys per car. That's because we're broke and we don't have any money in California, so they want to pick on one guy.
Well, plus, the whole concept selective enforcement is absolutely crazy. We have a lot of very good cops we deal with daily, and they do the same thing.
We have a real good guy now that's on our side downtown. Yeah. His name is Sergeant Novak, and he grabbed Doc last night.
Mm-hmm.
And Doc called me from the... This was a roadside stop. The guy, he went up to Big Bear in California. He bought a truck. He put his bike in the back of the truck. He had the red tag in the window, but because they said they couldn't read the tag because he had tinted windows, they pulled him over and rousted him. So I'm on the phone with him, and I'm listening to these guys tell him, hang up the fucking phone. We're going to do what we're going to do. And I'm telling him, hey, all you guys want you to do is keep repeating. I do not give up my rights, and I've asked you twice for a supervisor. I am not going to say anything else. And he's repeating everything I'm telling him. And then finally, the guy called us for the supervisor. When the supervisor came, he got out of his car. He walked over to the kid. He walked back to the sergeant. And he told him, hey, this guy called the station and said he needed help out here because you guys were hassling him.
The situation is not in control. That's your right to call for the watch commander or supervisor.
And when he walked back over to the other guy and chewed his ass, walked back over, gave our friend his stuff, and told him to have a nice evening.
I'm not saying our friend is
just by doing what we tell him to do. As long as you can, like Bill said, as long as you can get control of the situation, it's like this. There's an old saying: people know how smart you are when you start to talk.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, I want you to understand too. We're not here trying to save all the bikers. I mean, if you're stupid, you're stupid. You make mistakes, you make mistakes. We are just trying to educate people so they don't make mistakes. People complain all the time. Well, they pulled me over, blah, blah, blah. And I say, were you speeding? Well, yes, I was. Well, that's part of life. We have to accept that. The last guy, Jesus Christ, they put him up on a cross. He was trying to save the whole world. We want to educate the whole world. I don't want to appear in court. I hate going to the police station arguing like that. It wears me down. But we feel we have a right to explain to other people what we've discovered. Let them discover it.
Right.
But for people who get in this savior business, wear you down.
Right. Because right now, there's two organizations. I'm really heavy into Bikers of a Lesser Tolerance. And Bill and I are also the West Coast representatives of Bikers Against Discrimination.
But I want to share to you my opinion on Bikers' Rights Organization. Listen to this. I say that because bikers will not get together and be as one. This petty politicking, this petty, I got this, I did that. That's
amen.
Prince.
Yeah, it is a tough, it is a very tough situation, and I find, you know, sometimes guys are always coming to me and asking me certain things because they know what I do. And my best advice to them is I try and tell them, I said, man, you need to go to these websites, you know, these .gov websites, look up everything, know the penal code, know what they're talking to you about, and know your rights on a stop, because that's going to be the difference between you going to jail, getting your stuff taken, or being able to.
Hello?
Yes. I think
Betsy, you've been listening to this?
I think
yeah,
we lost
him. Did we lose him?
We might have lost him.
Hey, what do you think about this guy? Came from nowhere. I like what he's doing.
Oh, I do too. Kudos to him. All right, listen, guys. I'm going to head out.
Okay.
And I'll talk to you later, and happy Veterans Day, and keep up all the good work, and... You need
to well, you're resting out here trying to save the Bikers of America. You go right and have a nice sleep, and don't worry about us, Betsy. We'll be fine.
Right. Yeah,
good night,
sure.
Dear. We miss you
a lot. Feel guilty now.
Just a little bit.
All right. Good night.
Okay. Bye, dear. Bye. See you soon.
Okay.
Sean, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, hold on 1 second. I'm going to bring in another friend of ours. Hold on.
Can Betsy hook up and get John's information?
I'll send it to her.
Okay. John, we want you to talk to Betsy because she's good people.
John, Delsano, are you on the air, please?
Yes, here I am. Here I am. How are you?
How are you doing, buddy?
Good, good. This is John from Albedo, California. I got a couple of quickies for you. One.
Sure. Give us an upgrade.
One, Bill was talking earlier about the motorcycle-only checkpoints. Now, the money that's coming out of California for those, it's coming from the Office of Traffic Safety. That is supposed to be used for checkpoints for all vehicles, not just motorcycle-only. If the cops are stopping motorcycles only, then the person to contact is Ron Miller from the Office of Traffic Safety, California OTS, California Office of Traffic Safety, and let him know that a particular police department is just doing motorcycles, because that's not supposed to be. The money coming
John,
from...
John, a second. Is this similar to what's going on in the city of Escondido, California, with all those roadside stops, more like that?
Right. If it's a
Are
roadside...
Are you familiar with Escondido problems?
If it's roadside stops and it's only motorcycles, then they're not supposed to do that. They're supposed to be stopping and every vehicle that comes by or groups of vehicles. What are
right,
they
but what, if you look, John, if you look at the grants they got, the first heading is motorcycle safety checkpoints. Then it goes into everything else.
Okay.
Which grants? Are you talking about NHTSA or about Office of Traffic Safety?
No, I'm talking about the California grants that Vacaville received, Santa Monica received, Huntington Beach received. It says the first line after that they received the grant, it says for motorcycle safety checkpoints.
Okay, well, like I say, if it if the money came out of OTS, you got to contact them. Okay?
Okay.
Can you do me a favor? When you get
sure.
home, could you email me a copy of that? You know my email.
Yeah,
okay.
They're on the blog. I put them up on the blog, too, if you want
to. They don't know what
I'll
a blog is. I wouldn't know how to blog if you hit me with a stick. Okay, second one.
No, I'll send them to you. It might not be tonight, but I'll send them to you. I'll send them to you.
Okay, whenever you get a chance.
Okay.
Second, because it's Veterans Day, I've got a message here. I put this out on my email today. Support our troops looks nice on a bumper sticker, and having a flag hanging from the front porch a few times each year is a nice touch. But there was a TV show recently about the thousands and thousands of male and female troops who were returning home to unemployment, alcoholism, drug addiction, destruction of their families, and homelessness. These troops can really use support. If you see any way that we can give one of these vets a hand or a boost, please do so.
Absolutely. Like Bill and I say, if you're anywhere within 100 miles of a VA hospital, go on down. If you're walking up and a guy's sitting outside in the sun in a wheelchair, don't put your head down. Look him right in the eye and say, how you doing? That's the whole key.
Don't look over his head.
Don't
like
look
he's not even there.
Yeah, don't look at
the
like,
man or woman in the eyes.
Look him right in the eye and say hello. Introduce yourself. Spend
okay,
five,
now,
10
as long
minutes.
As you mentioned that, on December the 12th, for those people in San Diego, on December the 12th, we're going to go in and visit the vets in the hospital, going to bring them gifts and papers and pads and pens and socks and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that, except anything that has alcohol in it. December the 12th at noon, we're meeting in the parking lot, and we usually end up with, 50, 60, 70 people involved. So if you're free on Sunday, December the 12th, stop by.
John, I have to ask you, you say we. Is this your organization doing this run? On December 12th, the VA hospital?
Basically, it is Snowman and the Vietnam Vets. Snowman from the Boost Fighters and the Vietnam Vets, they're the ones who mostly have been putting this on for, oh, Christ, close to 30 years.
You know, John, that same day, and I want to talk about this quickly, Sunday, December 12th, the Messengers and the Pioneers, two clean and sober clubs that you're aware of, that's the big cover-up. Blankets and socks,
oh, really?
And blah, blah, blah. All the stuff we collect goes down to St. Vincent de Paul's in San Diego and in North County, my area up here, that goes to Brother Beano's. That always conflicts the same day, and it just aggravates the hell out of me. But,
okay,
you
hey,
know,
Bill.
What can we do? Also, isn't that the Tijuana Toy Run? Because we go to Mexico usually Sunday. Well, we go Saturday night to party. But Sunday morning we do the toy run, and then I try to get to the VA hospital or get back up to my shop for the other party.
Yeah, but the Tijuana Toy Run, that's not coming out of Sweetwater.
No.
It's coming out of Mike's this year.
Politics.
Politics again. Spoils
okay,
everything.
Bill.
But, John, if you have a flyer on that thing for the VA, please send it to me, and I'll put it on the blog.
Okay, very good. Hey, Bill, on the with the blanket thing, if I get blankets up to you before the run, is that good?
Absolutely. For the whole month, I've collected blankets, socks, clothing, sweaters, jackets. We call the big cover-up. We say bring blankets and socks, but we want all kind of clothing. Now, you know I'm not anybody's mother. I'm nobody's minister. But the night we send people out with extra blankets and dry socks to get them through to the next day, we give a list of places they can go. I'm not into that, save God and all that. There's ministers who can do that. I'm just saying Screwdriver and I were out here. We're having people, look, here's some blankets, socks, here's an address. These people will help you. Years ago, John, homeless people looked like Screwdriver, you and I. Today, we have so many families broken up. The women are on the street with their children. All I'm trying to say is, here's a blanket, dry socks for your kids. Here's some agencies you can go. So we can't do everything, but we try the best we can.
Okay, now I got something here for people from the Los Angeles area as far as the helmet law is concerned, and I got this from RideToRepeal.com, ride and then the number 2 and then repeal.com. Okay,
right, that's Douglas's outfit.
I'm sorry?
That's Doug Finley's outfit.
Yeah, right. Okay, there is a special election coming up soon in Los Angeles for Senate District 28. That's where State Senator Jenny Oropeza won re-election despite the fact that she had died. Okay, there are three Democrats trying to replace her. One guy called Ted Lieu, one called Foratani, and one Janice Hahn. Foratani is somebody who is not for us. They're not motorcycle friendly. He's a member of, code red member of the Transportation Committee. If he wins, though, it'll create a vacancy in Assembly District 55. Now, Republican John, this is all around the Los Angeles area. Republican John Stamrich is also running for SD 28, but he couldn't beat a dead Democrat, so he probably can't beat any of the live ones in a special election either. And if we can find a Democratic candidate who supports repeal, we can take it to the next step and work on getting volunteers in there. And one more is, Senator George Runner has been elected to the State Board of Equalization. He will give up the Senate District 17 seat on January 3rd. And that's another election that will be open up for us to try to get motorcycle-friendly people in there.
John, I have to say to you, one of your strongest points that you have, beside the fact you do research more than anybody I know in the world, you are willing to work with these politicians. I will argue with a judge. I will argue with a lawyer. I will argue with a cop. I will argue everywhere. But I get frustrated talking to these politicians. I've known many good politicians that's gone in. Within 6 months to a year, I've lost them. I apologize. I appreciate the fact you don't give up work with the politicians.
Bill, that's what a bait is about. That's what we do. We do occasional runs and occasional fundraisers and stuff like that. But basically, we're a political organization. That's what we're there for. And last but not least, on November 28th. The 28th annual San Diego Toy Run. This is the one we've been doing. Like I said, we've been sponsoring this for 28 years now. And that goes out of the firefighters' training station on Harbor Drive, just west of the San Diego airport. Between 9 and 10:30 in the morning is sign in.
We'll see you there again for that.
Send me that flyer too, if you would, please.
I don't have a flyer yet on it, but that's.
If you send me the info, I'll put it up on the blog.
Okay, we'll do. I'll get that off to you first thing in the morning.
Okay.
And that one, there's no cost to it. It's just bring a new unwrapped toy. That's it.
It gives me a chance to meet with a lot of friends, and I don't see that much in San Diego, so we try to make that. Who is the attorney in San Diego that rode the big trike? His name slipped me right now. John?
The guy with the big trike is...
The lawyer passed away.
I'm sorry, what?
The lawyer who passed away that had the trike always down there.
Who did?
The lawyer that passed away a while ago always made that run with the big trike. At the CNC, he was down there. COC, rather, he was down there speaking always.
You're not talking about
David Lockrain. The lawyer. I always look forward to seeing him there.
Joe.
Passed away. It's kind of sad, you know.
That was Joe. I don't know. It's on my vest.
It's not being old, John. We still picture Joe sitting on his trike, though, at all those toy runs. I miss that.
Yeah, and his bike was about 3 pounds over 1,500 pounds, so he didn't need to wear a helmet on it.
Great stuff. We got another caller trying to get in?
Yeah. What,
we'll
Okay, that's all I got.
Don't lose us. Who are you gonna reach us?
Yeah, are you gonna stay on, John, or are you gonna hang up?
No, I gotta go make a bathroom run, so I'll catch you later.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Okay.
Well,
I'll
get that info on the toy run.
Okay.
Thanks, brother.
What we're gonna do is good night, John. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, nice guy.
What we're gonna do is I'm gonna bring Sean. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, hang on 1 second. Hello, caller.
Hey.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Boone with the Messengers, Phil.
Okay.
Hey.
Hang on. Hey, I don't want to cut you off, but I got a little schedule I'm following here, and I want to play this. We're going to take a couple-minute break, but I want you guys to listen to this. I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. It was sent to me by Kale.
A friend of ours from Orange County.
Right. And she said, heck, I'm stunned. I'm 47 years old and never knew this existed. It's really beautiful, and she loves the Marines. So since this is being Veterans Day, I just want to let you know that she wrote, "This brings the tear to your eye," and she wrote, "Hanky Alert." So this is the revival of patriotism. I want you guys to listen to this as this Marine stuns a crowd at a tea party.
Right, well, so give me crank it up, Bubba.
Give us a few minutes and listen to this, and we'll be right back.
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, just
hang on the line, okay?
Okay.
One question was raised about how we are young people, and I'm a former Marine, and I became aware that there are two verses, and we need to hear the second verse, which says,
get up and put their hand over their heart while he was singing that song.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with saying, God bless America and I love America. That's not old-fashioned. That's something we should all be doing regularly. The fact that you and I are surrounded by military bases and all that, you and I never... In fact, it's normal for you and I to see a tank going down the freeway. So we're proud of our military, but... But you people don't have military around you, and you don't see that much military. Don't forget, they got to do the job, and we got to send them out with love, and we got to be there when they get back. And none of that you're going away to do a bad job. The President of the United States says this is what you got to do. You're in the military, you draw your pay, you take your chances. That's all there is to it.
Absolutely.
Let the right war, wrong war, leave that to damn politicians, you know? I say leave that to them because none of those politicians are going over and fight the war.
No.
But they're going to send our children, our nephews, our nieces over. And all we can do to say to them is do the right thing. Your president says it. The Commander General?
Commander in Chief.
Commander in Chief. you do your job and let the arguments and the bullshit, let the politicians deal with that.
Absolutely. And then, this was Dan from the Messengers? Is
Dan?
That, Dan, are you still there?
Yeah, it's Boone from the Messengers, man.
Okay.
How you guys doing?
Good, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, just fighting this cold. Hey, you know what? I want to salute all of our veterans, man. I got a son that's in Afghanistan right now. He's pulling power duty. Just fresh out of high school. Yeah, you know what? Just fresh out of high school. I don't know. I guess he's out of school for a year, you know, and he's over there doing his duty, you know. And blooding for all the veterans doing what they do for us. I wouldn't be sitting here looking at these three bikes in my garage right now, you know. Our hats are off to him.
Now, for you people out of state, let me explain to you why he has three motorcycles.
Out of state or around the world.
We ride so many miles, you can't have one motorcycle in California because it breaks down. We have two events to go to.
We got bunches of them, don't we? You know what? I got a flyer to that Tijuana toy run. If I get you guys' email address, I'll send it to you when I get off the phone.
Jennings, I haven't got that yet. And I spoke to those guys every week. But tell us a little bit what you guys got going on the big 15th, big cover-up going on, buddy.
Are you on the computer or are you just calling in from the phone?
I got my computer in front of me, but I'm just calling in on the phone, bro.
Okay. What I'm going to do then is I'm going to give this in the chat room. If you give Bill a call tomorrow, he'll give you my email address.
Okay. Or you can send it to me on Facebook, bro.
Or you can just hit me up on Facebook. It's there, too. I'm not hiding from anybody.
Yeah, boy. All
right,
I'll do that.
Yeah. All that love, brother.
We can get back to this cover-up.
Sure, go ahead.
This year is, like you said, it's our 15th annual. We've been doing this for 15 years. Each year it gets bigger and better. Last year we had
one thing missing. Do you remember what it was?
What was it?
We didn't have any escorts anywhere. We didn't have anybody watching us with cameras.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know what, it's turned into more of a family event, you know what I mean?
Exactly. People look forward to that every year. They call me, oh, by the way, before we get in front of this, where are my barrels? How can I collect all the stuff I need to collect if I ain't got my barrels? And it also in Oceanside, I want to give a little prop out to Cigar Grotto. They want to put a barrel in their shop and... the manager of all of the land that I work at and all that, the landlady, she wants to put one in her place too, so I'll need about three barrels when you guys come down, okay?
Yeah, and you know what? Somebody was supposed to be dropping one off up there.
Nothing, brother.
Nothing. Okay, well, I'll get back on that. This is put on by the Messengers MC of San Diego and the Pioneers MC. We've been doing it for 15 years. Each year's gotten a whole lot better. Like I said, we want to thank Bill Kennedy for letting us have our event up there. We appreciate that, Bill, a whole lot. We started San Diego Harley. It's the 12th of December, the second weekend of December. It's a rain or shine event. Bring blankets and socks. It's a $10 donation. You get a run pin and food, which is barbecued up at Kennedy's at the end of the run. We start out at San Diego Harley-Davidson. Kickstands are up at 11:30, and the ride's up to Kennedy's Custom Cycle in Oceanside. Registration starts at 9 a.m. Donations will benefit the homeless through St. Vincent de Paul's and Brother Vino's Foundation up in Oceanside.
Can you tell us a little message about what's the message your club is trying to get out to the people in San Diego? What are you guys all about?
Well, you know, we're a Clean and Sober Recovery Club. We're up to 19 members now. We carry a message. We try to carry a message of hope and recovery. You know, when we do these runs, these benefits for people, we try to give them a little bit of hope that, you know what, if they persevere, things are going to be good. You know, that they're not forgotten about. You know, there's a lot of our veterans that are homeless out there. You know, they need socks. They need blankets. All of our cash donations that we get go to the homeless shelters, you know, to provide food for them. Just everything that we can do to give back to the community. For, you know, some of us in our past life weren't real good people, you know, and once we got clean and sober, we're trying to give it back to the community, you know, and help people out.
Well, some of the people that are clean and sober, they have a moral obligation to reach out to other people. You can't preach to people. They'll say what they want when they want. But I myself
right.
go at least 3 times a week. I'm in bars. The reason I go in the bars is as soon as I walk in, the noise volume goes down. When I leave, the volume goes up. The bar may say they love when I walk in because the real drunks try to act sober around me. And I can't tell you how many times people say, Bill, do you think I have a drinking problem? Maybe I should quit. I've told everybody, I'm not your mom, I'm not your minister, but I say to you people that ask me that question, if you have to ask me the question, you already know the answer.
Exactly. Exactly. That's, you know what, it's, you know what, to each their own, you know, and I know me, myself, I did it. You know, I drank and did whatever I wanted until I was 37. And I got clean sober. That was about 11 years ago. You know what? I got friends that are still out there doing their deal. You know what? That's their life, you know. But I'm here, and along with our club, we are here for you if you want to get clean and sober. That's what we do. We try and help other alcoholics and addicts get into recovery. You know,
good point. The fact you guys all come down to our shop and hang out, I try to invite a lot of my friends in, and so they can walk up and just talk to you people. You're not trying to change anybody's world. Hey, if you do want to talk, you guys are there. That's why I appreciate so much you guys being there.
Exactly. You know, we aren't pushy. You know, you know what? People got their lives. Like I said, we ain't pushy. We don't throw recovery down their throat, but we're there if they need us, you know. And we got some really good guys in our club that's been doing this for a number of years. Me, myself, I've been clean and sober for coming up on 12 years in February. And there's our president, Big Wayno, he's been clean and sober for 27 years.
He's a character,
and,
isn't he?
Oh, he's a good man. He's a good man.
Indeed.
I mean, he's such a lovable guy. You know, everybody loves him. You know, I'm in awe sometimes at how you know, just everybody loves him. You know, I haven't never heard anybody say a bad word of him. You know, and
what I respect about him is the fact he walks
up. You know,
yeah, he doesn't try to impress anybody. This is who he is. I'm Wayno, blah, 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 hello. He's not trying to press his president. He's not trying to press anything at all. He's who he is. That's why people enjoy speaking to him, I believe.
Exactly. Exactly. They love the heck out of him, you know, and always there to reach out, always reach his hand out, you know.
There you go.
And,
So what I'm gonna offer you right now is you can call in, Every Thursday until the event, and we'll give you 5-10 minutes, and we'll plug it again, okay?
Hey, that'll work, man.
This is going around the world, buddy.
Work.
Okay, because right now they're listening to you in Spain.
Mexico City.
Hola. Hola.
And I'm gonna give a shout out to let's see, this is Lars the Prospect of the Canaras, and to Hunky and Hose. And I promise I'll be awake for one more hour. Yes, it's a deal.
All right. A lot of people, we're on right now 6 to 8 o'clock, but these people in Europe that want to listen to us, I don't know why they would, but they have to stay up to 3, 4 in the morning to tune us in. I don't think we're that interesting, but somehow some people want to listen to us, so we appreciate that. And we appreciate what anybody wants to talk about, because what's important and affecting your state today
could be affecting us tomorrow.
That's right, brothers. That's right.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in, buddy. Every week until the run, okay?
All right. Thanks for calling, guys. I'll give you a call next Thursday.
Thanks, brother.
All right. All right.
Have a good night. Who we got, buddy? Anybody else up there?
Okay, we got here's what we're going to do, Bill. I'm going to bring in Sean. Are you still there?
Sure.
Okay. If you want to hang up and call back next week, or if you want me to, I'm gonna help you out, dude. You're helping me with that. I'm on your site. The only thing I'm gonna tell you is I'm gonna send you some info. It's called Bolt of California. If you go on that site, there's a part in there called the legal details. It will tell you exactly how to handle your traffic stop, your traffic ticket, what to do. But the most important thing I want you to do when you get stopped is keep your composure, know your rights. You don't have to surrender anything. All you got to say is, I refuse to give up my rights, and I want you to give me a business card
of the officer.
Of the officer. And as soon as you're done, you go on the site for that town, that police, that city, whatever it is, and you can download one of their IA complaints, fill it out, turn it in.
And please try to get any witnesses.
Any witnesses,
it's
anybody
so
who
important.
Was there. So
yeah.
Important, because it doesn't just go in there. They tell you, it just stays in there for a couple of days or a month or so. It stays in their jacket for as long as they're employed from that city. It fucks them up when they want to go for a new job. It fucks them up when they want to get promoted. All that shit comes out in the wash.
Again, we are not adversarial. We're not anti-police. We're simply saying, we are not going to allow these people to take our rights away from us. We have to draw a line in the sand somewhere. And each person in America should say, I'm proud to be American. I'm not ashamed. And I'm not going to let police or the fire department or the dog catcher tell me what to do.
Hey, I love what you guys are doing. I enjoyed, you guys having me on and just listening to your callers and hearing everything you guys have to say. I am definitely, in fact, that's what I'm doing right now. The blog, and everybody's waking up, and so my phone is a buzzing and the blogs are going. So I'm going to get on there and start talking about what we were talking about and start directing people in your direction. And send me over, you guys, feel free to post any of the events or flyers or anything that's going on your end in our forum, because there's a free calendar. So you can put all your events there. You can talk about anything you want. It's absolutely free. All people have to do is sign up and just talk about everything. I mean, I'm putting you guys in there, and I'm actually going to be referring a lot of guys to your site so they can
get information. Yeah, what did you think of that one I sent you about the fake judges, fake deputies, and the fake courtrooms?
Yeah, so I'll be definitely doing that. And I appreciate you guys allowing me to call in and be a part of your show.
All right, Bill.
Thank you. Take care.
Don't be a stranger, all right?
Well, in fact, I'll look you up when I come to SoCal, and you hit me up when you come up here.
Absolutely.
Okay, man, perfect.
All right, take care, brothers.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
That's what I like. We never know who's going to tune in, who's going to talk, and this man's a wealth of information, yeah.
Absolutely. Michelle, are you there, Michelle?
I am here.
Well, where were you last week, darling?
What a great show you guys have tonight. Wow.
I don't want to say that. I would have to say that you're being on and mention a little bit about what you do. First of all, this is Veterans Day. We're all about the veterans. But I want you to share a little bit what you've done, because the vets coming home, there's domestic violence in here. And this is something that you've kind of highlighted last week or so. Can you tell us what you did, please?
Well, last week we had our second annual Ride to Stop Violence event that ended up, we really had, the weather just opened up for us. We ended up having sunshine. We ended up having a great turnout, starting up at Froggies and starting down at Sweetwater Harley-Davidson and ending up at Froggies in Pacific Beach. It turned out to be such a great event. And we did talk a little bit about veterans. There's so many different areas when you talk about violence. There's bullying in schools. There's, human trafficking issues. There's rape and assault and all these things. But when we're talking about veterans and what they're dealing with overseas, them coming home, they come back a different person. They come back with post-traumatic stress disorder. They are not sure how to deal with that. No one's really telling them how to deal with that or offering them ways of how they can cope with that, and including the family in ways that they can cope with that, and teaching the family what PTSD is, how it shows up, what it sort of, what it looks like, how do you respond to it, how do you recognize symptoms and triggers and those sorts of things, and really bringing people back and helping the family sort of start fresh, because you're not really the same person as when you left. Coming back, how do you start all over again? How do you get sort of reacquainted with this person who is now dealing with so much trauma, and that trauma turns into frustration because no one knows how to deal with it, and they feel like they're ill-equipped. They feel like they're coming home and they're inadequate. That turns into frustration. That begins to escalate. It turns into them sort of lashing out in a very angry way, and it turns into violent behavior and can turn into and have many times turned into domestic violence and abuse. Then that turns into many, many other things, and many times it actually leads to suicide. So there are so many dangers in people coming back that are protecting, you know, our country and, you know, over there fighting for our country and doing those things. And they come back over here and they don't have the support that they need, and they don't have the education that they need, and their families don't have it either. So when we talk about Rock to Stop Violence, and when we do the ride every year, Ride to Stop Violence, it's really, we're encompassing violent behavior of all kinds, including what happens to our veterans and the support that isn't there for them when they come home.
You know, even though you had some, we all had bad weather and all that, it became quite obvious at that restaurant, you had way too many numbers. What are you going to do next year? Because the event's growing, the program's growing, people are going to be there. How are you going to prepare for that next year?
Well, thank God I have you and Screwdriver on the team, so I'm really excited about that. We've got Indian on board to help us out as well. And, you know, I just want to say thank you so much to you, Bill, for coming out and just for being so supportive and excited about this event. And you're right, it is growing. We're getting a lot of response to this event. So what we're planning on doing this next time is, instead of all of us ending up at Froggy's, we're probably going to have our two starting points be your place and Froggy's, and have one stop and then our final destination. I was talking to Indian about this just the other day. We're actually going to have a couple starting locations, and down at Froggy's being one of them, up at your place another one, and ending up eventually after one mutual stop and make it more of a bit of a poker run, and end up down at Sweetwater, Harley-Davidson, and have a really great event with vendors and people out there with information up on top of their building down there. I don't know. Excuse me. I've been under the weather, too, lately, and getting back.
Michelle,
on
that's
kind of
odd. Screwdriver's been under the weather, too. Maybe just a coincidence.
Well,
Thanks a lot, my brother.
Friend Billy told me just to keep looking in the mirror and saying, I'm healthy. So that's what I'm doing. I'm healthy, not giving in to feeling bad. I'm healthy. That's, I'm going to focus on that.
You know, do you have any idea how big that building is, that rooftop party? How big that is? I don't know how to tell numbers, but that's a pretty damn big building, right?
Well, I think it holds about 300 or 400 people up there, Bill.
And I think we're going to have that parking lot full of vendors, too. I think this is going to be, your program is perfect. You've got a wonderful crew. Let's mention the fact that you've got a great committee working with you. This is just touching all of our lives. An awful lot, maybe too much, but I felt that my little speech, my little tiny thing there, it touched people, because so many people came up to me afterwards. I think this is just going to continue on, and I thank you for getting the message out to the people, Michelle.
Well, it's my pleasure, and, you know, it's just a call on my life that I could not ignore, you know, after surviving violence and abuse myself. I really wanted to do something positive, and in doing that, I wanted to incorporate the things that I really love. I mean, when you sort of have a second chance at life, I really had to decide, you know, what are the things in my life that I have been giving up while I've been climbing the corporate ladder that I sort of, you know, put on the back burner. And I brought those things that I really love in my life, which is music, and I love motorcycles, and I love just sort of getting out there and really living, you know, and doing the things that I enjoy. So that was sort of the foundation of why I started Rock to Stop Violence. And we really focus on great music that is rock and roll, which doesn't mean it's always rock. Rock and roll music is really about sort of this rebellious type of music where you say, you know, you kind of put it out there, and it's about all different kinds of artists and different people. But we, you know, we kind of focus on, you know, good old rock and roll, kind of classic rock, which is my favorite, and motorcycles and rock and roll fashion and that sort of rock and roll lifestyle. And excuse me, we put together several events throughout the year, but I think this ride is really going to grow. And next year we'll have a live band and, you know, music playing and food being cooked right there. And just really, it's going to be fantastic. I'm very excited about next year already.
Michelle, we've already got many people from many different states already ask us about this one. But Screwdriver, can you tell us a little about Charlie?
Yeah.
Tell Michelle, look a little bit.
Michelle, if you run up the bills, I'll leave you a CD. This guy was a Marine, and he's out of Nashville, Tennessee, and I helped him do a charity food drive for homeless people in Tennessee. I went back to Nashville, and he's a great artist. I closed the show. I don't know if you listened to the night you were on. I closed the show with one of his songs. It's called Ride.
I do remember that.
Okay, and
he's interested in the program.
He's interested in the program, and we can get him out here to sing. He did a couple years ago. He did one at Mike's down at San Diego Harley.
Oh, that would be awesome! Tell me his name right now. I'm going to Google him.
Good. We want to start spreading out.
Well,
then,
right now, he just left the chat room. He sent a message. He's packing right now because he's going to sing. Sonny's having a book signing in North Carolina, and he'll be singing at Sonny's book signing. So he had his cut out early tonight because he's on the road to go to North Carolina from Tennessee. So
okay, well, send me his info to my email, Screwdriver. That would be great.
I will do that.
You know, Pastor Z was there, and he was so impressed, too, that don't forget, he's got groups all many states, different parts of the world. We got to keep this thing rolling, but I know you got the energy to do it, girl.
Yeah, I do, and with the support from you guys and, you know, the entire Rock to Stop Violence team, we loved it. We loved the energy. And, you know, it's really about the quality of people that you attract at an event like this. It's not always about the quantity. We had a great turnout, but it really, the quality of people that were there at this event, that were supporting this event, the comments that we've gotten back, everything about this event in terms of the quality was really, you know, was really right where we wanted it to be. And I'm just so proud of everybody that was involved that helped to pull it off. And Pastor Z, he just put me on the back of his bike, and I got to ride up to the event at Froggies in Style. So I want to give a big shout out and a thank you to Pastor Z and just everyone who helped us to pull this off. And it went smooth, and it was fantastic. And I really, we had a committee meeting the other night, and you know, everybody on the committee is just really excited about next year already.
Well, why do you have to wait till next year?
Well, believe it or not, you know, Billy down at Froggies, he loved it so much. He said, I want to do something, you know, I'd like to do something around St. Patrick's Day. He wants to do at least two a year. He's so excited. So, you know, we're in talks about that, and we're going to get everybody together just to have a meeting for a wrap-up on this last ride and to talk about, you know, whether or not we do want to do two separate things throughout the year. But I'll let you guys know, because it's just going to be basically the bike run committee, which will be you guys and Indian and Billy and myself and a couple other people that are just specifically on the bike run committee. So I'll keep you posted on that date as soon as I'm feeling better. It'll be within the next couple weeks.
By the way, Billy, when I was away, I just met him once for a short time, but made me feel very welcome, very comfortable in his bar. It's a nice little place there. That's great. I got the cold for both of you two. That's great.
Yeah, Froggies is a good little spot, you know. It's really kind of the Cheers of Pacific Beach, you know, where people go down there to hang out and visit and chat, and it doesn't have your typical bar food. It's got really, really fantastic food. He's another one, like you guys, like, you know, you go to Kennedy's Custom Cycle, it's not the biggest place, but you guys are focused on quality, and that's exactly what Billy is all about at Froggies. He's really focused on quality food. I mean, for a little tiny place, you would never expect them to have one of the best wine lists in town, and they've got one of the best tequila lists in town that are just, you know, some of the most that you really can't get anywhere else. And he's focused on quality, from food to drinks to the kind of people that are in there. Just top-notch place.
And he's a nice guy, too.
Hey, hold
yeah,
on one second. Hold on one second.
We got somebody on the phone.
I just put that up in the chat where it's are you signed into the chat?
Am I right now?
Are you still signed into the chat?
I am.
Okay.
I should be.
I just put it in there. It's Charlie Baker at bakersongs.com. What I gave you was his direct email. Just tell him that I told you to send it to him. He'll take care of you.
Okay, Bakersong. Okay, got it.
Charlie Baker. Good people.
Good people. Hello, caller. Hello.
You're on the air.
735-2065.
Don't make us go to your house.
Okay.
Someone calling in?
Well, yeah, some people just listen in and they don't want to say nothing.
Well, I know what's coming up in March. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but you know, do you think something in March might be too soon, or do you think
keep the ball rolling.
Hey, are you still thinking about joining us in the 21st?
Oh, I'm definitely joining you the 21st.
Okay.
You are going.
Absolutely. Hey, Screwdriver, can you send that in a personal chat one more time to me?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, I'm going the 21st for sure. I mean, that
is
a big day for me. That's the 10-year anniversary of the kidnapping. That was the catalyst for my starting Rock to Stop Violence. And, you know, that whole event just changed the entire course. Excuse me, the entire course of my life. And to be up there with you guys and to be celebrating that day, you know, and that's a place I think a lot of survivors should get to or aspire to get to, is to the point where they're the day that changed their life, you know, where you can celebrate that day as a day that woke you up in a positive way, is a really good goal. I know that that's what it is for me.
I like the event so much, but next year when we're down at the dealership, I really want press to get more television coverage there. I want a lot of people to understand what's going on. It's not about us. The message is more important than the messengers. So I want everybody to get a chance
for
that. Yeah, Sweetwater, they bring the big TV cameras in there.
Yeah, that's for sure. And we'll have more time. You know, this year we all made a sort of a pact that this year was going to be more about awareness and kind of kicking it off and introducing it to everyone. And we really nailed our goal and exactly what we wanted to do with this last ride. And next year, we're going to have a lot more time for, you know, PR and marketing and social media campaigns and things like that to really make this thing blow up in a really big way. So I'm excited, and I know that we've got the right people behind it to make it happen. And that's, you know, that's kind of, you and I talked about this a lot. You know, you get involved with some organizations or some events,
I just received something last week about a guy in Texas. Got killed on his bike. He was living with his grandmother. No money for the funeral or nothing. Wanted to know what Bill and I could do to help him. I made a phone call to check it out because we get those calls all the time.
We check everything.
We check everything just to make sure. Just like when you got a hold of Bill, if it wasn't for Indian vouching for you, you wouldn't have met us.
Yeah.
We do our research because we don't want to get burned and we don't want to burn anybody with us.
We don't want to ask anybody to donate even a penny if the cause isn't good. And Michelle, of course, your cause is right down the line.
Exactly.
Thank you. Well, it's my pleasure to, you know, as hard as it is, and even in, you know, a lot of people out there and a lot of really good organizations and people with big hearts and great organizations are struggling right now economically. I just read a report the other day that corporate sponsorships and donations for nonprofit organizations have gone down by a third this year. And that is crushing a lot of really small organizations. And Rock to Stop Violence is, you know, we're a 100% volunteer organization, and you know, we don't pay anybody to do what we do. We give back every single penny that we possibly can over and above anything that's an operating expense. There's no, you know, salaries or anything like that involved in what we do. And, you know, I just can't even imagine how many really great organizations out there. They're really struggling. So anybody out there who's, you know, wanting to donate money coming up to the end of tax season and they need a write-off, find a really, really good grassroots organization. You know, like Rock to Stop Violence or something that speaks to your heart that you can give back to where you really know it's going to make a difference.
I agree with that. Screwdriver, do we got another caller we need to touch or what? Are we okay here?
No, I think we're...
They're just listening. All
right. No,
you know,
just listening.
Okay.
But what I wanted to ask you, Michelle, is on the 21st, are you going to go up to Rusty's?
Oh, I'm definitely going up there. That's a celebration day for me.
Right.
And for my daughter, and I'm really looking forward to being up there for sure.
Okay. But I also want to talk to you about June, maybe the 12th. I want to share something for the Bikers Against Diabetes ride, and that's about 3,000 people getting together up there in Orange County. I want you to see that organization. I want you to see how that's growing because you're going to be there soon enough. I promise you that.
Well, I'm excited, and I'm happy to go out there and take a look at that organization and get our vision going for Rock to Stop Violence and our annual Ride to Stop Violence and see how that thing can grow and start getting that vision and make it happen.
Right, because on the 21st, just to give people background on what we're talking about, is our friend Rusty and T-Rod up in Westminster, California, they have a company called Illusion Motorcycles. They can sell you, they can get you together with a certified driveline packages. Any output cubic inch you want. They've got turnkey Illusion bobbers they build. This is going to be an open house where you get to meet the crew, look at the bikes, the ride-in show. There's going to be vendors. They were the official builders of the TV channel Sons of Anarchy charity chopper to benefit the Wounded Warriors Project. Well, actually, foundation. Mm-hmm. It's going to be at 14726 Golden West Street, number F in
Westminster,
California. And
mm-hmm.
I will put the you can go in, I'll put the website in the chat room and you can go in and check it out. If you wanted to give anybody a call, the phone number and everything will be there. Or you can get them at illusionoc@gmail.com.
And Screwdriver, listen, I want to tell you right now there might be some interesting people there.
Interesting people.
I'm not saying nothing.
We're gonna leave it at that.
Might be some interesting people to say look.
I called T-Rod and actually Rusty, too, and Rusty gave me a call back. And so we've already got some dialogue going, and I let him know that I'm definitely going to be up there. And they are 100%, you know, supportive of the Ride to Stop Violence and want to know more about next year's event and want to get involved. So that's a really good, exciting development, too.
Michelle's like a snowball going downhill. It'll just go on its own and keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
I'm not messing around.
Basically what Bill's telling you is just get on and go for a ride.
There you go.
Hey, Shelly Toombs is on right now, it looks like. She's on. Is she on the call right now?
No.
She's on the Rock to Stop Violence team. It says Shelly Toombs. I wonder if she's in the chat room right now. It says she's on.
Is her last number 2065 phone number?
I think so, maybe.
We've been trying to get her. Let's try again.
Is that you, Shelly?
Shelly, come in. We're live. Shelly, I know you're not shy.
Shelly. Okay, can you hear me? There she is.
There you are.
What happened? You were hiding.
I'm hiding. How are you guys?
You guys
met Shelly on the ride. She was the one, she was handling the registration table at Froggy's with her daughter, Amanda, and doing an amazing job.
Oh, you're too kind. You guys are really easy to work with.
Yeah, we're kind of fun. We're kind of a fun crew to work with, that's for sure.
Shelly,
definitely.
You're not the girl with the dark hair, are you? The one I was down on my knees trying to talk to?
That was my daughter. She has darker hair.
Okay.
Mine's kind of, I don't know.
My speeches are boring, but that's the first time I get on my knees to say, hello, somebody listen to me. Deep emotional scarring. I see my psychiatrist about that.
Yeah. Well, we had a great time. We've definitely had a great time and look forward to seeing everybody at the future events we're going to be doing. So we just want to thank you guys for participating. You made it a great event.
How do you feel about this March event? Did you listen to this?
March, as we're looking for what was it called, Michelle?
We're thinking about doing a St. Patrick's Day ride, and instead of it being St. Patrick's, we were going to call it St. Practice Day, as in practice nonviolence.
I think that's fabulous.
And so that Billy came up with that. I can't even take any credit for that. That was all Billy. So we're going to be talking about pulling together a ride in March, depending on the weather. I don't know how much rain we normally get in March, but I think I'm going to check the weather.
I think we'll just go with the flow and whatever. You know, our weather turned out perfect last weekend, so we'll just go with that.
Yeah.
So
I want to just introduce Shelley real quick and let you guys know she is actually on our board. She is our secretary treasurer, so I just want to make sure you guys she's new to our team, and although I've been friends with her for years and years, and we do public relations in our PR business together, but she's recently joined the team, and we've been looking for ways to work together because we're just, you know, it's about bringing good people in, and we finally decided that we've got to invite Shelley to come in and be a part of this team, and she agreed, and we're so excited to have her on the team, and she's also going to be handling any of the volunteers, any questions you guys have coming up about the rides that we have and the events that we have. We really want it to be as organized as possible, and having one person to go to when it comes to volunteers and who's going to be working the registration areas and what volunteers are going to be doing what, all of that sort of stuff. We really like to keep everybody sort of organized and have a point person to every single thing that we do, and so we're excited to have Shelley on board, who's going to be handling all of that and be our point person for all the volunteers.
That's a good idea. And I told you before, when an event happens, you've got to have key people in key slots, but the secret for everybody to do is smile, because if we're all smiling, all the people who showed up, they'll think, oh, this is the way it's supposed to be. It's fine. But to get the organization set up takes a lot of sweat, a lot of hard work, a lot of meetings, and a little bit of yelling every now and then. It's good to have good discipline. I like your concept of a team.
Oh, it has to be a team. I can get nothing done alone. There is no I in team. And everybody on the Rock to Stop Violence team, they actually give me crap about it because I always talk about team, and I never say me or I or my vision. I always say team, and they actually want me to kind of take a little bit more credit than I do sometimes, but for me, it really, really is all about the team, you know? And
Message is more important than a messenger. However, you need to have a person who's up front, a focus person. That's critical. I have agreed with you on that. I'm not shy at all, but I've tried to step back, and people say, well, Bill, will you speak about this? You need to have a go-to people. And, Michelle, there's nothing wrong with saying that's your job, buddy. We all have jobs
that's
to do. That's
job.
Your
I
job.
Back out.
Sometimes, you know, I don't get offended by this, but when you guys said team, I'm going to tell you something that I hear at work all the time. And a lot of these guys talk about team and this and that, and then they start popping off. And but I tell them, you know, there's no I in team, but there's three U's and shut the fuck up, because they really don't know what they're talking about when they try and make a team concept. They don't have a reality on a handle on how to handle it.
That was from Mr. Warmth and Personality Screwdriver himself.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, a lot of people that are, you know, in leadership types of positions, and I was in banking for 13 years, and I was an executive banker, and I ran a sales force in two regions, and I was really successful as a leader in that industry because I was willing to and absolutely did at any point in time when I was needed roll up my sleeves and get right in there with them and do the work with them. I never treated them You know, like I always treated them like they were just as important to the team as anyone else, including me. And even though I had maybe a different title than them, you know, I have a different title. I'm the founder, and it started with my original vision and sort of this calling on my life. I definitely see every person on our team as just as critical as either myself or the next person or the next person. And so I think a lot of people in leadership positions, they, you know, tend to be, you know, look down upon their team, or they tend to put themselves in a power position and let their ego get in the way. And that really creates for more separation than togetherness. And for me, I just take ego out of everything that I'm doing, and I listen to the team, and they have good, you know, they have really good ideas. And the meeting we just had the other night, I had this really great idea that I wanted to do by the end of the year. And, you know, the team spoke and I listened. You know, I have the ability to go, I think that's a really great idea, and I'm going to agree with you guys, and I don't mind being outvoted, and I don't mind being wrong or admitting that, you know, this may be something that needs to be put on the back burner for now. So I think the concept of team, when you're a leader of a team, you have to be willing to be a part of that team and not feel like you're above that team. Does that make sense?
Right.
It really does.
Well, that's the thing with these guys. They think they're above everybody, and they're not.
You know, at my motorcycle shop, sometimes people walk in and say, what are you doing? I'm taking the trash out the Dipsy dumpster. Well, you're the owner. Yes, and the trash needs to be emptied. It's not me going around saying, you stop what you're doing, take the trash out. I'm taking the trash out, and I clean the bathrooms up to show everybody there is no job that I won't do, and there should be no job my shop shouldn't do. So that's how we feel about that.
That's exactly,
like
you're exactly right.
It's like this, if you're down on, you know, a lot of us have ups and downs in life, and if you're down and out and you need something for your bike, you go down and see Bill. He'll hand you the broom. You could do a little cleanup in the back or whatever until you pay it off. That's the way Bill's always been.
Yeah, our shop is a dinosaur. That sounds like a good commercial. Thank you very much. The dealerships today are certainly changing different, but for people who crash their motorcycles or really need the bike, we try to get the parts out to them. They come in the day off and clean up a little bit. But that style of being a businessman, the big dealerships tell me that's by the dinosaur, Bill. You're not making the big money. I don't care. I'm going to do how I want to do it, but thank you for the commercial. That's not what this show's about. It's not a commercial about me.
I know.
Yeah, but I think you've got, you know, that creates longevity, and that builds a team that feels a sense of loyalty and commitment and a love for the project that you really don't get any other way. And, you know, it speaks volumes about, you know, your shop and the people that have been going to your shop for so long, and the fact that you're still around and you have so many people that support what you do. And the same for Rock Stop Violence. You know, the quality of people that show up and that want to be involved, and the people who have been, you know, with Rock Stop Violence for the last 3 years from the beginning, you know, it really says a lot about someone when they have, you know, relationships and friendships, not only in business but in their personal life. You know, it really speaks volumes about the type of person they are, or the type of business or organization they are. When you've got people that are a part of a team that have that sense of loyalty and love for it that you can't really get any other way. So I kind of look for that whenever I'm wanting to get involved with a particular organization or a company or something like that. I really look for that and see, you know, who's involved and how long have they been involved, and do they seem happy or are they miserable, and are they involved just because they have to, or, you know, you've got to look for those kinds of things.
I agree. I see a lot of time organizations, people say, I'm leaving this. Well, what they're really telling me is, I think I'm more important. I should get special treatment.
Yep.
The guy who goes to work for the very first day at a charity event like this should get the same amount of credit and all that as the guy who's been there for 10 years. Because you've been there for 10 years doesn't mean you're anybody special. Again, I always say, you probably tired of hearing me saying it, the message is more important than messengers.
Yeah, we just, at our committee meeting, you know, exactly, we just handed out little gratitude was like a little gratitude candle with matches in this little tiny booklet that just said two little messages of thanks that say thank you in different ways, you know. And every person on the team, whether they had just arrived or had been there for 3 years, everybody got the same gift to say thank you, because everybody's contribution is just as important as the next person.
That sounds good. That, you know, again, it goes back to a circle. You know, we need your face in it, because, Michelle, this is your idea, and you have all the energy in the world. But, again, in the circle. The circle is even
not
on all sides.
Not bad for 45. I had my 35-year-old friend tell me she can't keep up with me. I thought that was quite a compliment. I'm 10 years older than her, and I'm running circles around her. I thought, hey, that's pretty good.
I was kind of worried when you got in that motorcycle at my shop if you guys were going to keep going. I wasn't sure we were going to be there when I get down there. You seem pretty comfortable on that motorcycle.
It was pretty comfy, I got to say. I got a pretty cush ride from your place down to Froggy's. I was absolutely loving it.
Yeah, you looked real comfortable sitting there.
You looked
I know.
Like you were sitting on a couch.
Yeah.
It felt like it. It had armrests, and, yeah, it was very comfortable and very cushy, and I just got to sit back and relax and enjoy the beautiful ride down the coast and looking at the ocean, and it was fantastic. What a great day that was for me.
Well, Veterans Day is coming to a close.
You still with us, Shelley?
Shelley, you say something there?
No,
Shelley,
I think Michelle is giving me a question there.
Well,
what's
I
that,
think
Michelle?
Oh, Shelley, I couldn't understand that. Would you say, please?
Do you have anything you want to say, Shelley? I'm going to sign off.
No, actually, Michelle, you've covered so much. You're so good on the radio. I always love kind of riding your coattails, so I'm all good. I do want a motorcycle ride eventually.
Well, now, you're talking to the right people.
Am I talking to the right people?
The right people.
Okay.
I think you're going to get one in March.
Okay.
All right, little girl. We'll have to see.
Perfect.
Or
right,
if you're
going
to go to that 10 and the 21st with us, you could probably get a ride up there on that day, too.
I don't think Shelley knows about it, but I'll fill her in. We have a meeting tomorrow for a few hours, so I'll fill her in tomorrow.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Send me an email.
Shelley, have you been riding motorcycles in the past?
I have not. Not since I was much younger and my dad had a motorcycle.
That one at 21st, it's a little bit of a distance. I might suggest you get a little shorter distance, and plus the fact that we're going to be splitting through traffic a long way to get up there, and that may not be, for a new person, it might be a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah, okay. I'll have to work myself up to those long rides.
Yeah.
She's quite a trooper, though. I don't know.
Well, yeah, but you've never seen me split traffic.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, guys.
Perhaps one of our slow runs, maybe down to March or something, where you can appreciate the scenery and stay off the freeway, you know?
Good.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, a while back, I got to tell you, Screwdriver broke his arm, his shoulder.
Shoulder.
And after a while, he just said, I'm going to go out and ride my bike. We were riding down the road to a friend of ours at a MMA fighting match, the cage fighting. We went over to see him. And Screwdriver's arm was, shoulder was really hurting because the wind's blowing and all that. We're doing about 75 miles an hour. And I looked over, and I saw the pain in his face. I knew that was from the arm. And I knew because we're doing 75 miles an hour that was causing the pain. So you know what I did?
Well, here, just to give you a quick update, I had 3 plates, 48 screws, and 9 staples in my back. Holding my wrist on my spine. Now, go ahead.
Now, Macho Man wants to go for a bike ride. I'm his friend. We're going down the road. I see the pain in his face. I know that's from all that surgery. He wants to go for a ride. I know the wind is hurting him. So what do? I roll the speed up to 90 miles an hour. He was miserable the whole way. That's what a friend's for.
But I hung in there.
Coming back, we took a little easier, though. But that's what a friend's for.
But I got a message here from the former commandant of the Marine Corps, Bill. I think we'll close the show out with this.
Oh, I like, yeah.
Okay.
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you guys want to hang out and listen to this, I think you'll appreciate it.
Okay.
But this is what we're going to close out with, our Veterans Day show.
To all listeners, don't forget our vets. Don't forget our women vets, please. To everybody called in, thank you very much. And Screwdriver and I will see you next willing. God will if the creek don't rise.
But this is from, it starts out, I thought you'd appreciate this. This is about the Marines, but it's from the former Commandant, Charles Krulak. There have been some people who in ignorance have referred to Marines as extremists and a little dangerous. To his credit, former Commandant Charles Krulak has said, in our defense, citizens from all walks of life have donned the Marine Corps uniform and gone to war to defend this great nation, never to return. Honor, courage, and commitment are not an extreme. From a personal viewpoint, I never knew a Marine who was only a little dangerous. Most of us seem to be a lot dangerous. That, I believe, is supposed to be the idea. Are Marines extremists? I personally believe I am a Marine until the day I die. Yes, I am. At which time I become a dead Marine. I believe in God, Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. The Marine Corps and its creed of honor, courage, and commitment, country, mom, and apple pie, I apologize to no one for assigning God his rightful place. I believe that Marines draw the guard duty in heaven because the Marine Corps hymn says so. I believe the Bible to be the finest book ever written, containing the very words of God, with the Marine Corps guidebook coming in close second. I believe that the Marines in service today are my direct descendants via the warrior spirit. I only believe two types of people exist within our nation's military, Marines and those who wish they were. I believe that Marines in service today are the finest Marines who have ever served our country. I believe that Lewis Chesty Puller was the greatest American who ever lived, and with former Commandant Charles Krulak a close second, and former Secretary of the Navy James Webb, the most decorated Marine of the Vietnam War, coming in third, with General Peter Pace, the only Marine ever to serve as Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is right on his heels. I believe that duty is right. I believe that service to our country is a God-given opportunity. I believe that patriotism is duty, not to be taken lightly. I believe in the brotherhood of all of the Marine Corps.
What we got down over here? Okay, Sergeant McGlasson, we as Marines believe in the freedom of the American citizen and have proven it tens of thousands of times. Are United States Marines extremists? The Chief of Navy Operations would never be called a sailor. The General of the Army would never be called a soldier. Chief of Staff of the Air Force would never be called an airman. The Commandant of the Marine Corps is proud to be called Marine. He says he admits it. He's old and gray. Hope he moves on me too fast. And he no longer moves as fast as he once did. He says, my active duty service is long behind me, but the memory of those fellow Marines with whom I served is as fresh today as it was many years ago. Yes, Marines will always be extreme. We know no other way of life, this is the general speaking now, not me. We know no other way of life to serve, to pay back our country for what we have and for what we have earned. And for that we have earned is a title, a name, a right. We have earned by the service, the sacrifice of the blood of our brothers, the right to be forever known as United States Marines. There's a lot of pride in there. You want to give us a Semper Fi? That's your department.
Semper Fi Delta.
And I want to say also, we're talking about the Marine Corps. Wonderful organization. Let's not forget the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Coast Guard. Every time an American citizen puts on a uniform, they may not come home at night. But those Marine guys got that pride thing going, don't they, Goose?
Yes, they do.
Good night to everybody. Have a safe life. See you next week. Don't forget your veterans.
And what we're going to do, Bill, is we'll close this out with Charlie's song.
Hey.
Desert air feels good on.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.